We have just memorized the verse, Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. And I'd like you to turn to it and repeat with me twice. Matthew chapter 5, verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Again, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Today, I'm going to meditate with you on the meaning of good works. And Jesus said that they may see your good works. So what are the good works that we can do for the Lord, that the Lord may be glorified? I have also printed for you the Westminster Confession in your newsline, chapter 16. I hope that you will take time to read through it. And it is the summary of all the scripture verses that are found in the Bible. And it is all crystallized for you, everything that you need to know about good works. So I hope that you will take time to read through it. By way of introducing this topic of good works, let us look at the life of Jesus while he was here on earth. In Luke chapter 4, let's turn to Luke chapter 4. Reading from 16 to 21, you remember that he was in a temple at that time at Nazareth. This was the commencement of his ministry. Someone passed him the scroll, and turning to Isaiah chapter 61, verses 1 to 2, he read these words. And you can see it in Luke chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, and he reads, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord." After that, he closed the book, and while all eyes upon him, Jesus declared in verse 21, "This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears." All that Jesus did from day one, and all that he had ever done in his earthly life, was to obey the will of the Father and to glorify his Father. He was sent by the Father to share with us the kingdom of God. While here, he also did many good works of physical and spiritual healing. He performed many miracles and signs and wonders. He even raised the dead. So today, we are going to consider what are good works, and what are the good works we can do? First question we want to ask is, why has God redeemed us? And what is the place of good works in God's scheme of salvation? If we turn to Titus chapter 2, let's turn to Titus chapter 2, verse 14. It says this, "Who gave himself for us, that he might redeem us from all iniquity, and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." So God is raising up a people who is zealous of good works. Let us turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Reading from 8 to 10. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And note verse 10. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them. So good works is ordained by God, and we must walk in them. And if you turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, and everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. So judgment and rewards are based on works, whether they be good or bad. Does good work contribute to our salvation? The answer is no. I say again, the answer is no. Our salvation is by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, we have just read. It is not of works, and there is no boasting. We cannot earn our salvation by works. We are saved by grace alone, without works. The basis of our righteousness is that of the Lord Jesus Christ alone. There is no boasting. When we boast of our good works, we rob God of his glory. Grace is the unmerited favor of God to us. Grace is not good works of any sort. If it is of works, it cannot be of grace. Good works does not save a person. However, good works follow the person who is saved. Good works are the fruit of a true and living faith. It is a confirmation that you have been saved. Faith alone saves, but the faith that saves is not alone. Saving faith evidences in good works, and good works are the mark of a true child of God. Now, the biblical concept of good works is different from that of the world. In the world, there are many heresies, and they have arisen because of the sinful inclination of men. By their vain imaginations, the natural man believes that goodness is possible even without God, and also that the grace for doing good is common to all men. They also sincerely believe that they can have salvation through some good works. These teachings or beliefs are contrary to what the scriptures teach us. The Bible teaching is very emphatic. Man is sinful and depraved. His righteousness are as filthy rags. That's taken from Isaiah 64, verse 6. There can be no good works without conversion. Conversion is the work of grace through the Holy Spirit in the heart of the child of God, according to which he is radically changed in his innermost being. He is turned around from sin, death, and wickedness, rebellion against God, to the love of God and his righteousness, holiness and obedience, and to the fear of God. Good works can only be done through faith in God, according to his law and to his glory. No man who is not interested in good works can claim himself to be a true child of God. You say, I'm a child of God, but I'm not interested in good works. Then I query your salvation. The Heidelberg Confession has a very nice and succinct biblical definition of good works, and is summarized on the slide that you see here. What are good works? Only those which proceed from a true faith are performed according to the law of God and to His glory, and no such as are founded on the imaginations or institution of men. The Bible teaches very clearly that God alone is good, absolutely good. There is none beside Him. There is no good that does not come from Him. He is good, absolutely. He alone is the source and standard and judge of what is good. Therefore, we humbly confess that the reason we are able to do good works is not of ourselves, but is by the grace of His Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God in us, not of ourselves, and this excludes any boasting of ourselves. So in this definition, you will find that good works can only be done, one, from a true faith, two, according to God's law, and three, to His glory. We shall look at the biblical references of these three important concepts in a slightly different order as given here. We'll turn to the law of God first. What is the relationship between good works and the law of God? God has revealed His good, acceptable, and perfect will in His word for us to follow and obey. The law of God is the perfect standard of good works. It is God's standard. It is not something arbitrary. The law of God reveals the absolute standard perfection of God Himself in His very nature and being. In His law, God Himself declares what is good in His sight and what is pleasing to Him. You have a reference there. You can go back and read Romans 12:2 and Micah 6:8. The law of God teaches us how we may learn to walk in obedience before Him in the way that pleases Him and bring glory to Him. And we remember Psalm 119 is a whole chapter of many, many verses which extol the law of God profusely. Let us give you the example of Jesus Christ, our Lord. He kept the law of God perfectly, without compromise, because He loved God perfectly, and it was His purpose to fulfill all His righteousness. Through His death, Christ exalted the glory of God, and also the law of God. He died for the righteous of the law of God. By honoring the law of God, He honored God. Jesus fulfilled the righteous demands of the law of God on our behalf, because we are wholly incapable of keeping God's law. Being prone by nature to hate God and our neighbor, but it is also true that the righteousness of the law of God is fulfilled in us through His Holy Spirit. So all things are according to the law of God. There cannot be any goodness independent from the law of God. Therefore, any work done outside of His will, not in accordance to His commandments, even with good intention or holy zeal, are devised by men and are vain and unprofitable. In fact, Jesus in Matthew chapter 15, verses 1 to 9, chided the Pharisees for neglecting the law of God and putting in its place the standards of man. You cannot compromise on the word of God. How about faith? What is the relationship between faith and good works? It is linked in this way. Faith is God's gift to his elect. It is the personal bond that unites the believer to Christ. The power to do good works comes from relying on the Lord Jesus Christ. By abiding in him and he in us, the glory of the power of Christ is revealed in us as we walk in good works. God the Father is glorified by the good works that we do through his Son, Jesus Christ. Good works are the fruits of his work of salvation in us. Jesus says in 7:16 that you shall know a tree by its fruits. And James 1:17 teaches the truth that good works are the fruit of faith. That these good works involve sincere and true love for the neighbor and genuine concern and care for their welfare. Good works also include the careful control of our tongues so that we do not speak evil to or about our neighbor. Such good works must be the fruit of the Spirit and the fruit of faith. James 2:14-21 says, God's people must be constantly admonished to bring forth good works in their lives. Good works reveal our gratitude to God for all that he has done for us. He has brought us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Good works also edify and strengthens our faith. Good works adorn the gospel, our witness to him. Good works glorify God. Which is given in our memory verse this morning, Matthew 5:16. And Romans 6:22 tells us that we shall have our fruit unto holiness and to the end, even eternal life. What's the relationship between good works and the glory of God? The glory of God must be the purpose for which we do all things. The larger catechism asks in its first question, what is the chief end of man? The answer, the chief end of man is to glorify God and to enjoy him forever. Only when the purpose of all our works is the glory of God are these works truly good in God's judgment. And Revelation 4:11 tells us that God created all things for his own glory. Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created. Man, the highest of all earthly creations, of God's earthly creations, was created a personal, moral, and rational creature. He therefore has the moral obligation consciously and willingly to seek his whole life the glory of God, his Creator and Lord. He has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light in order that we, the church, the royal priesthood, the peculiar people, might show forth his glorious praise. God's work are done through his Spirit His Holy Spirit, as stated clearly in John chapter 15, verses 4 to 6, which says, "Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit." And note this statement here, "For without me, ye can do nothing. If a man abideth not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered. And men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." So clearly, Jesus is trying to tell us that if we do not abide in him, and he in us, we can do nothing. Good works must come through the working of the Holy Spirit in us, through the abiding Christ in us. Clearly, any spiritual work we are able to do is by the grace of God through the working of the Holy Spirit. Philippians 2:13 and 2 Corinthians 3:5. The enablement and empowerment to do God's will comes from the Holy Spirit as we faithfully obey God's commandments and diligently perform our duties. Paul in Philippians chapter 2 verse 12b exhorts us, "Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling." We are reminded to show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that ye be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We are to be diligent, we are to be faithful, we are to be patient. We are to work, do good works, that we may inherit, in the end, glorify God and inherit the promises of God. We are to be the light and salt of the earth. And Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Question to us is, can men see our good works? Are they seeing good works in our walk with God? Are we doing good works for the Lord so that we can glorify God the Father in heaven? Human weaknesses and God's grace. Good works done by sincere believers, though accompanied with many weaknesses and imperfections, are accepted through Christ and in Christ. On the one hand, we confess that we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. On the other hand, we have the wonderful promise that God will not forget your work and labor of love, and that Christ will make you perfect in every good works to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. So when we do good works, it is not through our effort. It is through the power and the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. We will not do it perfectly, but we must try. And we must do, and we must persevere, and we must continue. We must press on. Why? Because the Spirit of God in us will work in us and perfect in us to do according to his will. There is this progressive sanctification in us so that we become more and more like the Lord Jesus Christ. So you want to know how far you are away from the standard that God has put for us. Compare yourself with the Lord Jesus Christ. Are you like him in thought, words, and deeds? If you think you're very far away, let us confess before the Lord and say, Lord, please help me. I'm so far away from your Son, Jesus Christ. The wonderful thing about the God whom we know is God knows our estate. He knows our strengths and our weaknesses. He knows our hearts. He knows our motives. As we submit to him as willing instruments for his use, he will work in us to do his perfect will through his Son and to his glory. This is the grace of God. When we cannot do his will, God will supply the strength, the wisdom, and the endurance to do and complete it. The grace of God is also seen in his commendation for the faithful servant. Well done, thou great and faithful servant. Enter into my rest. Wow. You know, the Lord will commend us if we do strive to do his will. Let us turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, and I want you to see the encouragement of Peter. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7 to 11. Let us read together. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober, and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves. For charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man has received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We have a duty, and that duty is very simple. If you are a child of God, then it's only simple logic to tell you that you have to obey the Word of God. And you have to love God supremely. You have to love your neighbor as yourself, and even your enemies. You have to reject sin and overcome temptations. You have to honor God. Any gifts that God has given to you is not for you. You have to minister to one another. And if you belong to a church, then you are to exercise the very gift. It's not for your benefit, but it's for the benefit of your brethren, so that all of us can be built up and the church will glorify God, will glorify Jesus Christ. So don't neglect the gifts that God has given to you. Exercise it for his glory. In our definition just now, we read, there's one aspect on the natural man. What's the relationship between the natural man and good works? Good works, as defined above, is absolutely contrary to every inclination of the natural man. The natural man glories in himself. He is devoted to seek his own glory and honor in this world. Because of sin and depraved nature, the natural man cannot, by his best works, merit pardon of sin or eternal life. Natural man is lost without Jesus Christ. Works done by him, no matter how noble or sacrificial in the opinion of the world, if not done out of faith, not according to the word of God, nor to a right end, the glory of God, they are sinful and they cannot please God. There are many examples, all right? The movie stars, the politicians, the rich and the famous, and you will read them almost daily in the newspapers. They seek their own glory. And some of them, they wax worse and worse, and they continue in their sin, but yet they glory in their works. They seek the praise of men as the motive for the good works they do. So let us be reminded of the definition of good works. Shall we read this together? Only the definition. Only those which proceed from a true faith are performed according to the law of God and to his glory, and no such as are founded on the imaginations or institutions of men. I'd like to give a warning to all believers. Be aware that many good works we do are spoiled by the evil motives for which we do them, especially the motive of our own vainglory before the world and even in the church. We need often to confess before God the sins that we commit in connection with our attempted good works, even in his church. So the real test of good works is how we live when we are all alone and only God is watching us. There was a Sunday school. There was a girl who attended Sunday school and who was with the grandmother at home who was cooking, was with the mother at home, and the mother was baking cookies. And you know how children and cookies, they all related. They like cookies. So because they were freshly baked and the aroma, you know, floated to her nose and she couldn't stand it, she was asked to bring a basket of cookies to the grandmother, which is a few doors away. So she was very happy. So she brought the cookies, and along the way, she couldn't tahan. And she put her hand into the cookie basket, and she was going to put it into her mouth and eat it. Then she put it back. Why? Is it out of a guilty conscience? No. She remembered what the Sunday school teacher taught her. Man cannot see, but God can see. And God can also count. So she put back the cookie. So the real test of good works is how we live when we are all alone and only God is watching us. Yeah. God is watching us for the believer, that we continue to trust and believe in him. God is watching us that we continue to obey him. He is not there to punish us. He is there to help us so that we can be more to be like Jesus Christ. So what's the conclusion? The glory of God must be the primary motive of our heart in all our works. God is not pleased with mere outward works of righteousness, which are the occasion for boasting and glorifying before men. We need to live godly and holy lives that please the Lord. This would involve rejecting any sin and the glorification of the flesh. If we love God, we must do good works and live our whole life for His glory. Colossians chapter 3, verse 10 states, "And whatsoever ye do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him." All the works we do daily, whether at home or at our workplace or in society, they have a moral dimension to them. Our works can be our acts of consecration or worship to God. So the great moral challenge is this: are we living for our own glory or for the glory of God? Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you that you have reminded us that we are your children. Thank you for reminding us that we need to do good works, that men must see our good works in order that they will glorify you in heaven. Lord, remind us of the truth that it is not about us, about what we do or what we have achieved, but it's always about God and His glory. Thank you, O Father, for reminding us that good works must be done from a true faith, must be performed according to the law of God, and must be performed to His glory, and no such as are founded on the imaginations or institution of men. Thank you for being with us. We praise you, we glorify you, we honor you. In the name of thy Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.